Nick, tell us what you have heard with your research, with your sources, on what the Department of Defense, DARPA, what they are doing with electronic telepathy.
You know, that is a whole nother wild story. You know, DARPA's been interested in, you know, this idea of being able to wirelessly transfer, you know, commands to field personnel, as well as literally to be able to read the minds of adversaries or manipulate their behavior. In fact, they funded several million dollars in basic research at the University of California to create a couple of different methods. One is using first of all, to look at the general research to see if there are electromagnetic emanations coming off of the skulls of individuals that you can analyze to determine literally what's going on in their heads. And so there's that level of research. And then building on that knowledge, then is the idea of, okay, can we transmit and receive these signals in a way that we can interpret them? And they believe they can. In fact, when you look at the science and how it's developed, the only obstacles that have stood in the way of doing this have really been computing power to analyze brain activity in real time. And we're there now, very, very quickly approaching a state where it can get very, very refined. The idea of creating, even going a little further, and creating complete memory sets that could be downloaded into the human brain at an incredible rate for accelerated learning, and not the kind of accelerated learning we've talked about in the past. I'm talking about hyper learning, where you walk away and you've got it down. I mean, it's right out of science fiction. And they're spending good money, a lot of money, to research these basic ideas. Now, what they do is they compartmentalize that kind of research, so it'll get split up among all different kinds of requests for proposals and RFPs, and that's where DARPA comes into play, because they'll let the Air Force do a few things, and the Navy will do a few things. Even the Marines is engaged in some of this, Army as well, and then the intelligence community. And then they merge that data, and out of all of these institutions and the academic institutions support the research, they merge the data into a comprehensive program. And on the mind control issues, again, Dr. Eastland approached the head of DARPA on this subject, because we actually put together, when I was working as executive director of the Lay Institute out of Dallas, we put together a mind effects conference, and we brought a number of people to that conference. It was closed. It wasn't open to the public, to have a free-flowing discussion about where this technology was going. And Dr. Eastland was one of those who was invited. And, you know, And he had told me when I invited him, he said, you know, if you'd asked me this, Nick, a few years ago, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the least interesting and 1 being very important, I had to put this in the 9 or 10 category. But he said, I talked to the head of DARPA and several of the directors in DARPA about mind control, mind effects, and nobody's laughing anymore. People are pursuing this science, and that made this a 1 or a 2 on my list, is what he told me. And he attended our conference and fully participated. And, you know, and that's sort of a sea change, because there's a light has gone on that has demonstrated a level of knowledge now where money is flowing into this area. If you want to have a controlled effect, if you want to control hardware, computer software, equipment, ultimately you want to control the human operator. And that's Absolutely. What's so exciting from their perspective.
Well, we know that they dabbled in remote viewing years ago, right. So there's this interest in the mind, and if technology has this capability, they're going to go for it.
Well, and actually, on electronic telepathy, I have a paper by a very accomplished scientist, used to work at the Lawrence Livermore Labs for years, was a professor of physics, and they had actually developed an electronic telepathy model going back into the 1980s, where they could transfer, and they did this experimentally, and I've got it's an unpublished paper, I've got the paper, and what they did is they designed a circuit where they could put one person in one room and one person in another. They each had an apparatus attached to their head, and using the flashcards they used for ESP, those squiggly lines and squares and triangles, circles, those kinds of things, they had 8 different test subjects who'd never had any experience with telepathy that they could recall, consciously at least, and they had 100% hit on reading those cards, with 2 people in 2 different rooms just transferring essentially the information wirelessly from room to room. Now, when that was done, these independent scientists that developed that work were literally shut down. They were excluded from grants. They were ostracized in a lot of ways. They came back later in other fields of science, but they never touched these fields again. I think that's unfortunate because, you know, what it leaves is this vacuum for others to pursue for less than rational approaches. And it's just not about giving commands to your field agents. It's actually the idea of extracting intelligence. In fact, right after 9/11, there was an article in a publication called Signal Intelligence, which I'm sure everybody reads. You know, I laugh because it's one of the obscure publications. But they had actually suggested putting a device in airports that you would pass through like a metal detector, and instead of looking for metal, it would literally read your emotional state and then route you through the appropriate search line depending on how you were feeling at the time of passing through those devices. And, you know, I fly a little bit, and I get aggravated. I'm sure I'd be sidelined quite a few times because the things I'm thinking aren't very charitable towards the experience I'm running through. But the fact that that's openly discussed as a technology that ought to be applied, we need to be careful because as soon as we start down that road, we're going to see some intrusions in personal privacy and some big questions start to develop. Because when you start to look at the idea of creating complete memory sets, and yet if you can create these full-blown experiences that you can't determine one from reality from the synthesized, what does that do in a courtroom when you're swearing that what you believe is the truth maybe in fact not be at all? These are, you know, big implications for law down the road, for education. I mean, consider the transition from military science to educational communities where curriculum is developed by think tanks that aren't you and me in most cases, and then that becomes the daily download for your kids under compulsory education. You know, and it may not be in this decade, it may be a decade away, but it's this generation that will decide the direction of this science, whether the science serves our interests as human beings or whether it creates a different kind of reality on this planet, one that is directed and controlled in what I consider to be a hostile way.
I was going to say, give us the downside of this, Nick. You know, I'm sure there's some positive things of telepathy, and I'm sure people would love to be able to communicate sometimes just by thinking. But what's the downside?
Well, I mean, the downside is the manipulation. I mean, transparency, you know, I mean, when you think about it, if you really wanted true transparency, imagine if everyone had this capacity to literally read through the veils of our minds. Boy, it'd make it hard for a politician to lie to us anymore. I mean, that's for sure. I guess that's the upside.